Under the Republic, none of these working men had any share in the running of the state. A small hereditary aristocracy, enumerated loftily in the Golden Book, preserved all power for itself. Only occasionally was the book opened for the inclusion of a newly elevated patrician, honoured for prowess in war, for particular fidelity to the state, or for a suitable, but of course purely symbolic, fee. 30 families were ennobled for service in the wars against Genoa, and sometimes rich commoners from the mainland bought their way into the Venetian aristocracy, as you might buy yourself membership at Lloyd's. It took generations, though, for such parvenus to be accepted by the old aristocrats, who often thought so highly of themselves, not without reason, that they shuddered at the very thought of going abroad and being treated like ordinary folk. The working people, in return for their labour and loyalty, were governed fairly and often generously, but they had not one iota of political privilege, and could only occasionally alter the course of events by a riot or threatened mutiny. Generally, they remained astonishingly faithful to the system. There were only three serious revolutions in the history of the Serenissima, all in the 14th century, and none of them was a proletarian eruption. The most serious, the Tiepolo Rising of 1310, was mounted by aristocrats, and it was balked, so tradition tells us, by an old woman of the people, who dropped a stone mortar smack on the head of the rebellious standard-bearer and plunged the rest into confusion. She is still doing it, in stone, in a plaque on the site of her house in the Merceria, the principal shopping street of Venice, while a tablet inserted in the pavement below indicates the point of impact. Throughout the protracted decline of Venice, the people remained pathetic.